Want to get into the war?
Monuments, man.
Time to put a team together and do our best to protect buildings, bridges, and art before the Nazis destroy everything.
How many men?
Six.
Jesus.
Well, with you at seven.
That's much better.
Matt Damon and George Clooney in a scene from the recent film Monuments Men. This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Monuments Men, the film, was based on a true story in anticipation of the U.S. of the Allies winning World War II. The U.S. commissioned a platoon to rescue stolen art and other personal and cultural treasures plundered by the Nazis. Monuments Men, as they were known, were part of what's been called the greatest treasure hunt in history, an effort to save Europe's culture. Joel Fisher played a big role in that mission. A U.S. Department of Treasury lawyer who enlisted in the Coast Guard, Fisher was assigned to General Dwight Eisenhower's Supreme Headquarters Allied Expeditionary Force in 1944. The young lieutenant commander with Treasury experience was made chief of the Foreign Exchange and Property Control Section in G5, the headquarters' financial division. When American forces got wind that the Nazis were hiding treasures, Lieutenant Commander Fisher led part of the hunt. Then after the war, he almost never spoke of it. He built a career as a lawyer. His daughter, Susan Sullum, longtime press secretary for U.S. Senator Ben Cardin, now a Baltimore-based writer, didn't know any of the story until nearly a decade after her father died. Susan Sullum wrote about that discovery last month in the Washington Post magazine, and she's with me now in the studio to share the story with us. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here.
How did you learn about this chapter in your father's life?
Well, it's been quite a journey. I had been contacted by a historian who urged me to file for my father's personnel records, which I did.
Did he say why?
He had seen my father's obit online in the New York Times. He knew he was on Eisenhower's staff. And he had originally contacted me 9 years ago and asked me to go through his files if I had any. But I was too busy. I took his name. I told him I'd be in touch with him. And then I never did. A year ago, in March of 2013, he contacted me and said, George Clooney's doing a movie on this. I really urge you to at least file for your father's personnel records. Well, I thought that would be easy enough. I filed, and I kept getting information that they couldn't find him, any record of him having served. I finally got a call in June of 2013 saying, we have no record of your dad. Is it possible you have a service ID number for him? And then the woman, the lieutenant in the Coast Guard said, by the way, there are times when people file for their parents or service records, and they find out that they never served in the military. So by then, I was very alarmed. I went down to my basement with this really dorky headlight on, went through my files that I had saved from my dad's office, and I found hundreds and hundreds
of
pages.
And these were files you had taken?
I had taken after my dad had died in 1997. I had removed them from a storage facility in Northern Virginia and brought what I could fit into my minivan up to my Baltimore basement, where they sat undisturbed for 15 years. I finally went down there, and I found hundreds of pages of top secret, classified, restricted documents, along with newspaper clippings of interviews he had given after the war about all this. So going through this material, I found out his birth certificate, the name on his birth certificate was Joseph, not Joel, which was why they could not find him.
They found him then as Joseph? They
found
his file?
Yes. And I did eventually get his entire file. So it was interesting.
So tell us what he did. I mean, first of all, set the scene. In the war and where was he doing what he did?
My father wanted to join the Army or Navy. He was rejected for bad eyesight and flat feet. He finally was able to get a commission as an ensign into the Coast Guard. He was assigned to Eisenhower's staff in 1944 because he had an expertise in finance. He'd been a lawyer with the Treasury Department. When Patton began his sweep into Germany, they found this unbelievable catch in what is called the Merkur's Mind. They found
Merkers is a town, a city.
It was a mining village in eastern, southern and eastern Germany. It was referred to as a salt mine. They had these potassium mine network of them, and the Nazis had at the beginning of 45 had moved a lot of their plundered loot to these salt mines in eastern and southern Germany, along with Reichsbanks, and they. This, when they went into the Merkers mine the first time, they discovered one room. It's called room number 8. It was 150 feet long by 75 feet wide. It was filled with 7,000 bags of gold and silver and currency.
You describe...
Yes.
How your father, you quoted from your an interview your father did with the Washington Post.
Yes.
When he first entered that mine. Would you read that for us?
It was very interesting. He said, quote, "The first thing that greeted us were open boxes filled with wedding rings, gold teeth inlays, and gold and silver picture frames. The owners, we were informed by German guards, were dead. Right in the middle of the cold, white salt beds were these wooden crates. I got a hold of something sharp and pried one open, and there was one of those beautiful paintings." So my father was then given the task of inventorying all the salt mines and all the Reichsbanks in the region. And he led a team of 75 men that, in the course of 3 weeks, traveled 1,900 miles and recovered 6.6 tons of gold and 198,000 pounds of silver. It was a remarkable story, and one he never talked about.
Well, let me pick up on that point.
Yeah.
Why do you think he didn't talk about it? He did give some interviews. In addition to the Washington Post interview.
He gave an interview with CBS Radio, Report to the Nation. He did a New York Times interview, some magazine interviews. I think that was right after the war when the government wanted to discuss what had been found and how the Nazis were trying to hide all this plundered wealth. I think he didn't discuss it because I think, like many soldiers, he wanted to put the war behind him. It was like history. He just wanted to move on with his life. And I think there was a need psychologically for many soldiers who participated in the war to do that and to move on with their lives, which he did.
On 88.1, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with writer Susan Sullum. We're talking about her discovery that her father played a role in retrieving Nazi loot after World War II, recovering stolen art and currency from the Nazis. She wrote about it in the Washington Post magazine this summer. So the files that you had in your basement for 15 years before
yes.
you looked at them?
Yes.
What, you thought they were just legal files of some sort?
Yeah, you know, along with them, there were files that we'd taken on his health records, his finance. You know, I had no idea. I put them in a filing cabinet and totally forgot about them in my unfinished basement. And I had no idea that he had these experiences. And it's amazing to me and my siblings and people who knew my father that he never did talk about it. He was a very expansive person who loved to talk about how he once dated Dinah Shore. He was friends with William O. Douglas. He had a very prominent legal career in Washington, D.C. But this, he just never talked about. He once referenced to me after Patton, the movie, came out. It was in 1970, and he once talked about it, and he said, he was talking about Patton and what a difficult general he was. And he said, "I remember when we were rushing to get to the salt mines in Weimar, and Patton stopped us and gave us a really hard time, but finally said, I have to let you go because you're Ike's boys." I never asked, salt mines? Why are we rushing to the salt mines? What's in the salt mines? I was a kid, you know. It never occurred to me.
What you've learned now, why was it so urgent? I mean, you talk about 3 weeks that you're...
Yes, that's very interesting. The Yalta Agreement had given that entire portion to Russian control. Now, they found the village of Merkers in the first salt mine was found on April 8th, was first entered. The war ended May 8th, so they had 1 month to retrieve all of that plundered loot. In one Reichsbank, my father found Himmler, the chief of the SS, had deposited a ton of gold coins, 35 bags of gold coins. The year before, another bank, he found the entire silver reserve of Hungary. Another bank, he found two tons of gold from Holland. I mean, it just went on and on and on. It's as if the Nazis marched into the U.S. and absolutely looted Fort Knox. But they did that with every country they occupied.
What you said, there were some things that that didn't make it into your Washington Post article that he found.
Well, let's see.
The patents.
Oh, yes. I was telling you about that before we started. I found a memo from General Frank McSherry saying in one of the salt mines they had found 30 railroad car load of patent records. They were really the entire patent records or patents of all of Europe. And the historian who originally contacted me on this quest, about this quest, I talked to him about it, and he said if these hadn't been found, there would still be litigation over these patents going on today. So it was an enormous find. And in fact, General McSherry in his memo said this is of immense value to the industrialists of the world. So that was amazing.
And you talked about tons of gold.
Yes.
That your father's task force found. What happened with that gold?
Well, it's interesting. After the war, there was something called the Tripartite Commission for the Restitution of Monetary Gold. It was formed to distribute to the countries whose central banks had been looted by the Nazis to redistribute the loot that had been plundered. It took quite some time because of the Cold War. Some of these countries were behind the Iron Curtain. But then there was the Russian, in the early 1990s, the Russian regime fell and sort of opened up and ended the Cold War. And the gold conference, there was a gold conference in London in 1997, which was the year my father died, in which the European countries that in which their gold had been looted agreed to relinquish their claims to the remaining $60 million in gold held by the Tripartite Commission and donate it to a Nazi persecution fund to help Holocaust victims and their survivors. So to a fund to help the victims and their survivors of the Holocaust.
So it took essentially five decades.
Yes, it did.
To settle that question. How did all of this, all of these revelations change the way you look at your father?
Well, I'm still continue to be puzzled that he never talked about it. It was not his personality not to talk about something like this. I admire him. I think he threw himself into this wholeheartedly. I think it was the most important thing he probably did in his whole life. And at the same time, I think he had a need to step away from it after the war was over and to get on with his life. And while I find it an amazing puzzle, I have to admire what he did.
I really appreciate your telling us about it. I hope we get to learn more about this. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Writer Susan Sullum. We've got a link to her article published in the Washington Post magazine last month and information on where you can hear her speak about this in the fall. That's all on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. Maryland Morning is an original production of Your Public Radio, WYPR, in Baltimore. The program is produced by Matt Purdy and Jamila Kay. Nathan Sterner directs and engineers. Tom Hall is our culture editor. We have production help from Brandon Block, Alexandra Kennedy, and Justina Latimer. Coffee provided by Zeke's Coffee in Lauraville on the web at zekescoffee.com. You can find us online at wypr.org/Maryland Morning. You can leave a comment about something you heard or make a suggestion about an interview you think you should hear on our show. On 88.1 WYPR, I'm Sheila Cass. The whole Maryland Morning team is glad you're listening. Have a great weekend.